Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to the Seeds of Truth, brought to you each Saturday morning at this time by the Rivermont Church of Christ, meeting at 2316 East 100 Road in Chester, Virginia. Your speaker is Robert Swain. From a general observation, it would seem that life was never more cheaply estimated than in our own age. Two great world wars within a quarter of a century, taking millions of Earth's fairest manhood, not to mention the thousands of lost through accidents from carelessness and hundreds of deaths from malicious intent, bespeak this fact. While on the one hand, mankind has spent so much effort and resources seeking to develop methods and ways of destroying life, there is shown, on the other hand, an intense effort to learn how to preserve and save lives. This interest in preserving life, however, has pertained primarily to the physical and not to the spiritual life of humanity. While the great wars are being conducted, we see the great destruction and carnage throughout the world, and varied thoughts fill the minds of different persons. Some thought of the value of property destroyed, others thought of the sufferings endured, some were concerned about the millions being wasted on munitions and the debts being incurred, some thought of the lives being thrown away, while a few, most likely very few, thought of the value of the souls being flung into eternity forever lost. And just one single soul is of greater value than all the millions wasted, the property destroyed, and labor expended. It is upon the value of a human soul, your soul, my soul, that I wish to focus our attention in this particular study. And one of the striking differences between the Son of God and the rest of mankind is the infinite difference he placed upon values. Jesus Christ, the value to be considered above all else, is life. With men, it is things, material values. You remember upon one occasion when Jesus began to show unto his disciples that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and the third day be raised up. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall never be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art a stumbling block unto me, for thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man should come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man be profited if he gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life?" Matthew 16, verses 21 through 26. Here is seen a wonderful contrast in values, the whole world on the one hand and one soul on the other. Also, here is seen the divine estimate God places upon one soul, one life, when he reckons it to be worth more than all of the world. Two words in the text need explaining, the words world and life or soul. The word world is used here to sum up that which appeals to the five senses, what we can see and hear and smell and taste and feel, all that would come under power, wealth, or pleasure. Suppose you should gain all of these things the world offers and yet lose your soul. Jesus says, that's a foolish bargain. Great men of history testify by their own lives that the power that they have and that they have accomplished never satisfies. It's said that Alexander the Great wept when there were no more nations to conquer. The rulers of our own age, living and dead, are testimonials to the failure of power to satisfy. As they gained much, they wanted more. Material things are not the object of life's quest. Of men and wealth, Carnegie, the great steel magnate, said, "Millions never sing and seldom smile. Wealth is a burden, a care to most people who possess it. And when we consider pleasure, I believe it can be safely said that beneath the pleasure seeker's seeming happiness, usually there lies a heavy heart which he tries to keep covered by the frivolities of the world. Sadly, most suicides of our country come from one of these three groups. And when one comes to die, He comes to say goodbye to all these. He leaves them forever. Solomon is an example of one who sought all three, power, wealth, pleasure, to which he added worldly wisdom beyond any man of his day. Yet when he reached the evening of life, he was constrained to say, all is vanity and striving after wind. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. All hath been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Friends in this listening audience, why will the world not be taught by these examples and words of wisdom? So many are striving after the vanities of life, paying for these worthless bargains with the price of their own soul, the most precious possession in the world. The life that we're talking about is that part of man which comes from God, that spirit that was made in the image of God. It's that part of man that reasons and thinks and loves and hates and knows. It comprises the intellect, the affections, and the will of man. It is that part of man destined to eternal consciousness, either with God in heaven or with the devil and his angels in hell. Jesus described the latter as outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth in Matthew 8 and 12. The man or woman who loses his or her soul loses all. One who makes such a bargain, though he gain the whole world, is at the last a fool. Jesus Christ taught this great lesson that mankind needs to learn today. He taught it not by mouth only, but also by his own example. As to material things, he recognized righteousness as true power and pleasure. His joy was in doing the Father's will. Although despised by others and finally crucified, no man ever lived a fuller life. No man ever lived a more perfect life. And for his was without flaw. And no man left humanity such a legacy, for he left it an open and sure road to happiness here and heaven hereafter. God's estimate upon the true values of a life is seen in the sacrifice made when he gave his son to save one soul. You know, so often we think of terms of the sacrifice of Christ for the world, which is certainly true and declared by the word of God. But likewise, we should think in terms of the individual. It would cost God just as much to save one soul, yours or mine, as to save the whole world. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. This is as true of one as of billions, as true of billions as of one. Let's get your Bible, and if you'll open it up with me, and let's notice a few passages of Scripture which discuss the sacrificial offering of Christ for mankind. In John 3:16, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. The Apostle Paul in Romans 5:8 said, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And again, the Apostle John lends his credence when he said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:9-10. There are other passages which emphasize the individual aspect of Christ's sacrifice, one of those being Hebrews 2 and 9. But we behold him who hath been made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. Here is revealed God's estimate of the value of one life, not only worth more than the world, but of such inestimable value that his own son died to redeem and save it. With the vast majority of Earth's millions today, life is simply a combination of shams. Far too many are seeking the things of this world, and they seem to be willing to lose their souls in search of these things. Many, many have accepted the philosophy of the rich fool to eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou foolish one, This night is thy soul required of thee, and the things which thou hast prepared, whose shall they be? Luke 12:19-20. Have you ever asked yourself that question? Someone has said, a shroud has no pockets in it. And my friends, we will take nothing with us when we leave this fleshly body. Does it not seem wise to make preparation while here so that when we answer the grim reaper, our soul will be right with our God? We must deny ourselves and take up his cross and follow him. Matthew 16:24. To follow Jesus means that we'll be like him in all things. Listen to the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. For hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. The whole of the Spirit of Jesus Christ is set forth by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of self-denial and sacrifice and humility and obedience to the Father's will. And this is the need of the world today. Is this your need, my friend? As you think, my dear friend, about the world and your own soul, can you not realize its intrinsic value? When life shall have come to a close and the spirit takes its flight from this sphere, of what value will all the material and sensual things of this world be then? None. In the midst of a burning building, you wouldn't think of things, would you? You would think of life. In a world passing away, think of the value of your life and of your soul. The Rivermont Church of Christ, bringing you this broadcast, meets each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Bible study and 11 a.m. for morning worship, and again Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for evening worship. And I want to extend to you a most cordial invitation to attend any or all of the services. We meet also at 7:30 on Wednesday evening for our Bible study. And again, we're located at 2316 East 100 Road in Chester, Virginia, 23836. And if you have a question or comment, or if you would like a copy of this message, or if you would be interested in a free Bible correspondence course, please contact us at our meeting address or call us at area code 804-530-1764. And I want to thank you so much for being on our audience. I invite you to listen again next Saturday morning at 9:45. Until then, I bid you a most pleasant good morning.